Greetings, folks. Welcome back to another episode of The Launch Space. Today, we are covering the OpenAPI and specifically how you would use it with Azure Functions, Power Platforms, and Logic Apps. Sorry for the feedback there. We've got a couple of great guests for you today. The title of the show is Icing on the Cake, Using OpenAPI and Azure Functions, Power Platforms, and Logic Apps. Let's bring on our guests. Greetings, Brady. Greetings, Justin. Hey, before I make some introductions, I just wanted to say a few things, a few links for you. If you want to see all of the links and anything we refer to on the show today, they'll be at the show page, which is aka.ms/thelaunchspaceopenapi. Also, you can see all past episodes at aka.ms/thelaunchspace. And last but not least, for those of you who are watching us on Microsoft Learn, for those of you who are watching us on YouTube, if you could check out Microsoft Learn TV at aka.ms/learnTV. If you have any questions or want to just interact with the speakers, we'll be over there taking your questions. So I'll personally be monitoring that during the show. And it's an interactive live broadcast. We'd love to have your feedback. So welcome, Brady. Welcome, Justin. Brady, you want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I'm Brady Gaster. I am a PM in the .NET team, specifically working on ASP.NET, SignalR, web APIs, containers, and cloud nativity, and a lot of different things in the Azure ecosystem. So I'm here to help you make your developer experience better. So,
great. Justin?
Hello, this is Justin, and I'm a senior cloud advocate at Microsoft, and I'm mainly on the .NET space, and I'm looking for all the serverless areas, and the power platforms for the in terms of the Fusion Dev teams, and those kind of things. And this show is a part of that activities. Nice to meet you.
Great. So we've got a lot to cover today on using APIs. It's a new feature that you have. It works with Azure Functions. It generates custom connectors using OpenAPI documents. So looking forward to that. And I'll just let Brady and Justin take it away.
Cool. Thanks a lot for that. So quick little history of the project. If you've been on Functions for a while, there's been different iterations of using OpenAPI or Swagger. OpenAPI is kind of the artist formerly known as Swagger. Sorry, community. But we've done different things to kind of enable the ability to describe an HTTP triggered function endpoint with OpenAPI and different types of descriptive languages. And the past few years, one of the ways that folks were able to do that was using Azure API management. So if you imagine kind of having your Azure function is where your compute is, where your code's running, you'd put API management in front of it, and you would essentially describe the API of your function by using OpenAPI, and then API management would kind of do the traffic management. You could control access and whatnot through API management. A lot of devs like that experience, but they wanted to make it easier, and some folks really like the way we did things with Swashbuckle and NSWAG and Web API. And in the early parts of 2020, we actually released support for Web API import on publish to API management. And we turned right back around and we shipped the same feature for Azure Functions. In order to do that, we needed to be able to generate OpenAPI descriptions directly from the code and the signatures of the methods. And Justin had worked on an open source project. And as a Microsoft employee, he thought we should just bring this in-house. So he began to work on it and kind of beef it up and add support. I'll let him talk a little bit about that later. He basically brought those extensions forward and made them kind of official, extensions for Azure Functions, like some of the other ones like Storage, SignalR, and so on. So essentially, as you'll see later on today, those functions basically enable you to use .NET attributes, if you're a .NET developer, to basically decorate your functions and kind of describe like the inputs and outputs, the payload, the endpoints, et cetera, basically using .NET attributes. And then that actually outputs OpenAPI, JSON or YAML, One question that I'm sure we'll have is, you know, Functions runs in a bunch of different languages. You know, will we be bringing the support to other languages and functions? We definitely want to. At this point, one of the things is, you know, Justin had worked on this in his open source life. There's a lot of open source projects in those other communities that support you know, open API generation. I think there's one called Express Open API, for instance, in the JavaScript community, and definitely some stuff in the Python community. We're hoping that some, you know, community members want to work together and come up with an idea for the other languages as well. But this was, you know, something that Justin had worked on in his, you know, life as an open source developer. So it just kind of made sense to bring it forward. But I'll stop talking and just kind of ask Justin a bunch of key questions. Justin, tell us a little bit about your extension and what those attributes can do and how I can use them to kind of extend an Azure function and, you know, describe the API for that function.
Sure. So basically, I started this the open source project for the Azure Functions and OpenAPI extension was that back in my the Microsoft MVP days before joining Microsoft. And I used and then Azure Functions, there are a lot of the requests from the developer communities to integrate the OpenAPI and the feature to the Azure Functions. So So I created this extension, then maintained it, has been maintaining. Then since I joined Microsoft, we initiated a discussion with Brady about how to, you know, integrate this extension to Visual Studio, and so that the older developers can increase their developer velocity without having to leave Visual Studio. So, which was great the initiative. So I really like that kind of offer to me. So and I was transfer my existing open source project into under the Azure hat, which is really great. So no talking, no more talking. So as you can see, the screen is that you are now seeing the GitHub repository about the Azure Functions OpenAPI extension. So these are currently actively being developed. And the current version of the extension is that the 0.7.2 preview. So the reason why we are putting the preview is that one of the dependencies are still in the tagged as preview. So once everything is done, I think our extension is because it's evolved from my existing ones, which was already has been already used by many different organizations as their productions. So once we see the dependencies leaving from their preview stage, I think we can also remove that preview as well. So bear this in mind. But we are still we are pretty sure that this is the production stage. But if you are concerned about we can't use this this preview in your production, but yeah, trying to make sure you are good to go anyway. So we have bunch of the source code here. So and I'm going to create the Azure Functions project from the Visual Studio directly here. So that we can experience what the development velocity has been increased within the Visual Studio. So I have blank and Visual Studio solution in here. I'm going to create a new project and say functions. So I'm choose this function project here. Once you choose this function project, and I'm just using the function app one here, and you will be able to see this HTTP trigger with OpenAPI template. So you can choose it. So with this HTTP trigger, this is the existing ones. But this trigger is you will be able to see some decorators in addition to existing HTTP trigger. So we are going to use that. And let's leave the other things as default. So once I create the Visual Studio, the project here, so you will be able to see bunch of these the decorators, right? So we used to only have, but now we got this open API decorators. So because of that, if I don't do anything in here, I just don't do anything, and I just run this function app instance, then you will be able to see some interesting screen here. So I'm running my Visual Studio with the storage emulator is in, storage emulator is being activated now. So just wait. Okay, so functions seen here. And we have only one the function endpoint of this function one. But as you can see here, there are a bunch of other the endpoint here. So render, starting with render the OpenAPI document, render Swagger UI, render Swagger document, whatsoever. So these are automatically added to your Visual Studio and OpenAPI the as a functions project by using this extension. So let's copy this URL and open the browser, and this is it. So you will be able to see this UI.
So essentially what's happened is you've generated that open API on the fly, and then you've taken the open source Swagger UI stuff, brought that down, and now you're looking at that Swagger, the open API, pardon me, sorry. That you're looking at that open API JSON that you generated, and then this form is generating on top of it all on the fly, I can actually use this to test the API locally.
Sure.
Cool.
That's correct. And also, when you see the URL here, if I click this URL, you will be able to see all the Swagger document, which is version 2. So as a default, it's rendering as a version 2. But this extension also support both version 2 and version 3. So if you choose OpenAPI v3, then you will be able to see the version 3 of OpenAPI document. So although the OpenAPI document specification has upgraded into version 3.1, our library is using the 3.0.1, which is there are not many differences anyway, so we can use it. So, and also if we change the version into 2, which is Swagger, which is known as Swagger, then you will be able to use that directly in here. And also, if you prefer to use YAML, then you will be able to use YAML. So here we go. So all the format you are expecting, like the version 3 or version 2 or JSON or YAML, you will be able to use it through this extension.
Sweet. So people don't have to argue. You can just use one or the other. Like your extension basically supports both. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
So let's get back to the existing one. So we just created, the OpenAPI project, as a function project with the OpenAPI supporting template. But there are many as a function applications already there using the HTTP trigger. So in that case, I want to add the OpenAPI extension to existing as a functions project. So how can we do that? So let's create another one. Let's create another project here. Let's say this time we are using the function 2, function app 2. Then this time we simply use HTTP trigger. So we simply use HTTP trigger. And here, as you can see, we don't have anything. So we have nothing related to as a functions extension. So right. In this case, you can simply add dependencies to the NuGet packages here and browse OpenAPI. OpenAPI, then you will be able to see, oh, so many OpenAPI extensions, okay. Also functions, oops, web jobs extensions, OpenAPI, then you will be, oops, what is it? The virtual extensions.
There are quite a few, and a lot of them actually depend on a lot of them take a dependency on one written in house called Microsoft.OpenAPI.
Yes.
It's written by
here we go.
That was actually written by a gentleman in the company who's worked in a lot of different OpenAPI parts of the orgs, and it's the same dependency that like API management, Swashbuckle, I think NSWAG, a lot of different ones also use. So you know you kind of have that consistent swagger in and out OpenAPI rather in and out parsing. So that's kind of good because you know it's good when you get that kind of consistency. And this is a very popular open source NuGet package written by Daryl Miller, Microsoft.OpenAPI. So that one's one that I think everybody's using. So it's good that we have that kind of consistency. Again, I want to point out OpenAPI is not a Microsoft thing. It was actually written in the community years back. I started working with it with a gentleman named Tony Tam. At this point, you know, it's out there in the form of OpenAPI. If you go to swagger.io, I believe is the URL, you'll find there's a bunch of different generators and tools and whatnot. And that's how we can do things like, you know, do this kind of stuff and then later on generate, capabilities for other languages, because they have support for a lot of different languages. So.
Yep. So if you cannot, this is their right name, but usually if you don't tick and include pre-release one, you cannot find it because it's our extension is currently in preview. So check the include pre-release here and you will be able to see this one, the OpenAPI, the Microsoft.Azure.WebJobs.Extensions.OpenAPI. This is the right one. And choose that one and install it.
Cool.
Then
cool.
You will be able to see all the extensions has been added here. Then we can add. So see in here dependencies and the packages here. We didn't have it before. Now we got the OpenAPI extensions here. So then we can simply add these existing code like this to here. Then that's good to go. So save it, and again, so running this as a function app two, which doesn't have the OpenAPI extension before. Now I added it, and we are able to see the same thing in here. So
that's cool.
And yeah, if we go back to the UI screen, then you will be able to see the same thing in here.
Nice. So what that really shows is, you know, if you were to open up Visual Studio and do, you know, file a new project, Azure Functions, you'll see that there's a new template in there specific to kind of the OpenAPI, you know, game. But what Justin's kind of showing is how you could actually use a pre-existing normal HTTP trigger that doesn't already have this and kind of bootstrap it into it, you know, yourself. So it's good to know that you can actually party on it if you don't get started with the OpenAPI specific template. So that's good.
Mm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Cool.
So we kind of have the developer experience. So now it's running on my local. So now the issue is that can we use this directly on Azure? So I mean, can we use this on the Azure instance product, Azure function instance, as like the production? So we can. So we can use either function app one or function app two. I'm just simply use function app one here and click the publish button here. And you will be, so you are going to see now those, the the pop-up windows here. Simply I use the Azure, then use the function app on the Windows. So you can use a Linux anyway. So, but I'm choosing the first one as a default. Then you will be able to create the function app here, or otherwise you can create a new function app. So let's say channel line, loan, space, open API. Let's say like this, and here a resource group here and consumption location. Can we use South Central or just West US2, same as West US2 in here? And storage here, we can use another one on, where is it? West US2 here. Then create a new instance. So now we create a new as a function instance here.
Cool. Yeah. So that gives you the ability to kind of create everything as you're doing the publish, just like you can today if you were, you know, publishing a web app or something else. And you've also got that same capability for creating the API management stuff too, I believe. Right? Mm-hmm.
That's cool. Right.
Yeah.
So we don't, so it, by doing so, as you can see, we don't have to leave in the Visual Studio to create the as a function instance. So it takes time. So once we leave out of this screen, we will be able to integrate as the API management as well.
Cool. While that's cooking, I know this is the Launch Space show, so you know we like to talk about brand new things. I just got, literally during the show, like I can't make this up, during the show, I got a ping from our friends in the app service team, and they were just wanting to let us know that they just got .NET 6 preview running on app service. Now, it's not .NET 6 preview 6, the new one. It's .NET 6 preview 4. They had slated this up a couple weeks back and, you know, just kind of ran into some issues. You know, it's a worldwide network of, you know, a billion computers. You know, that happens, you know what I mean? But they've gotten it out now. So if you want to get started, you know, trying out, .NET 6 preview on app service, you can do that today. There's a link that may or may not come up on the screen. It'll definitely be in the show notes. But when we when you look at the show notes later on, you'll see a link talking about .NET 6 availability. So go ahead and give it a shot and tell us what you think. If you run into any issues, tell us that too, please, because we want to make sure that we work through the next couple .NET 6 preview releases with our partners in the app service team until it's totally seamless and perfect on day zero, just like it was last year. So that's what we're hoping for.
Yep. And thanks for notifying that. So we have the as a function instance here, created. Then go to the next button, and then we can add integrate this just created as a function instance into with the API management. So yeah, I can use my existing one, or you can create a new API management instance here. So API name, say let's say channel line launch space open API, So in here, an API management service, we don't have it. So create new one in here. Let's do channel 9, launch space, open API. Location change to West US 2. Mm-hmm. And yep, use that. API name, okay, API name. Function app and suffix, we don't need that. So let's do this and create this one. And now we are creating the Azure API management instance, which is with a consumption plan. And then once we get this, and this one will be integrated with existing Azure function instance. So it takes time again.
And just so everybody knows, you know, if you've created an API management instance yourself or not, you know, traditionally the other SKUs of API management, such as the developer SKU, the basic SKU, the premium SKU, they have a lot of power behind them, which means when you push the create button, they tend to take a little bit of time to create in the portal. So what we're doing inside of Visual Studio is we're actually creating a serverless version of it for you. A consumption SKU is what we call it in the portal. If you want to upgrade it, you can. What a lot of devs do is they'll kind of go into Visual Studio and they'll create a consumption SKU because we don't give you the option to create anything but that right now, because that's one that takes about 5 minutes to create. So a lot of devs will go in, they'll create the consumption SKU, they'll party on it, they'll figure out how it works, they'll kind of, you know, figure out what they can do with API management, which I'll definitely tell you about in a few minutes. But they go through all those different exercises, and then when they want to go to production, they create something like a premium SKU or a basic SKU, just depending on what kind of power they need, and they go from there. So I just want to let you know that what you'd be creating using Visual Studio doesn't take the longer provisioning time. It's very fast. If you encounter a slow provisioning time, again, let us know. You can find us on Twitter or definitely send us a feedback request and we'll get on it. We want to make sure that experience is great for you.
Yep. So we just created API management instance. So we all done. Not done yet, but in terms of the creating instances on Azure, which is done. Now so everything is ready for deploy. So simply click on click the publish button, and this application will be deployed into Azure within Visual Studio.
Yep. You don't even have to leave it. That's good.
So let's wait for that. So yeah, you can see the command line, the console popped up, and to deploy this as a function application. Then this window will be showing if the deployment has been complete. Mm-hmm. So let's see, in a couple of the minute. And another one is that we are just using the publish HTML. Oh yeah, done. Yep. But if you have integrated this application with your GitHub repository, and you will have another option to use GitHub Actions. But for now, we haven't pushed this code into the GitHub repository yet, so we can't see that at the moment. So yep. Anyway, so we got the application deployed.
And it's great to think about like everything you just did. Like if you thought about doing that independently in the portal, you know, mm-hmm. you'd have to go to the portal, create the function, then you have mm-hmm. to publish your code, then you'd have to go get the public, you know, OpenAPI URL or the private one if it's private. Mm-hmm. Then you have to feed that private URL into your, you know, oh wait, I forgot a step. You have to create an API management instance. Then you'd have to create an API inside of that API management instance. That's then right. You would have to mm-hmm. import the function API directly into, or you just right-click publish. It's pretty good. Mm-hmm. It's great. And what's great about the right-click publish, as you point out, is if you're logging into Visual Studio, it's very important. I forgot to do this and got corrected by the team. As long as you're logging into Visual Studio using your GitHub, you know, account, when you go through that publish flow, it will actually set up the CI/CD process for you, and all those steps will be automated, you know, whenever you do a commit back to that repo. So that's pretty great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. So we just published everything, but so if I click the refresh button on Azure portal, so as you can see, this is my first time to visit Azure portal here before creating anything. So that's what we are calling developer velocity has been increased a lot, right? So as Brady said, we have to create the Azure Functions instance, API management instance, and add the APIs. All those things should be done within the Azure portal or command line or whatsoever. Before Visual Studio launch, then we have to do that by hand. But now we are doing everything within Visual Studio. That's the thing that we are going to point out. So now we refreshed it, and we all everything is ready in here. So if I click on these as a functions, and we got this launch space application, then the same thing happens like API Swagger UI. Then, as you can see, so we got the Swagger UI deployed on Azure, so which is really good. Now, so as a function is working, then if I go back to the API management side, then you will be able to see in here as a functions open API, and we have only one endpoint here, which is running this time. Now, so we got all running. So let's and then one of the beauty things in here, if we click the export button on the API on as a API management, then you will be able to see the bunch of options to export this API for other applications in your organization to use, such as we can export that API to OpenAPI version 3 or OpenAPI the version 3 of YAML format and JSON format, or version 2 of the version 2 of OpenAPI document. And even we can directly create a custom connector for your Power Platform, like Power Apps or Power Automate. So which is really good. So I'm not gonna go deep into further in here. So,
hey, sort of break in. Hey, we had a question. Phil Cole was asking. He saw, you know, when you were deploying using GitHub Actions, Phil was asking, and greetings, Phil. Thanks for the question. Will there be any Azure DevOps tasks similar to the GitHub Actions?
At this time, I do not know of any that are in the works. Kind of the investment that the team has made right there has been around GitHub Actions. That's not to say that they're keeping it from me. You know what I mean? But I don't know of any work being put in that. Most of it's going towards GitHub Actions.
I can take a shot at that as well. A lot of what you see here is just deployment using Azure, using GitHub Actions. You could integrate the API function, once you've got a custom connector, into your deployment using Azure DevOps, just like you would any other API connection. There is a REST interface. Mm-hmm. You can even do things like automated gates using the REST interface and things like that. So I'm going to say you could do it already, but there is no custom development, as Brady said, that is being done around this. So
that's what I'm saying.
So thanks, Phil, for the question. If anyone else has any more questions, aka.ms/learntv, do jump in, and love to take your questions on the air. So thanks. Let you guys continue.
Thanks.
So yeah, thanks for asking those kind of questions. If you have any questions, please leave a message, comment. Then we will try to answer as much as we can. So that's what we have done. So this is basically what you can do as a functions. But you know, this is something. What can I say? So this is a very basic example. So in the real world, you want to implement more, something like when we see, not this one.
Oh, yeah, like do you, like since you've had this in the open source community for a while, I bet you have a lot of experience working with folks who are using this out in the wild. So it's kind of, I'm wondering what you've seen. So
yeah. So if you want to, see, so for example, there is another example. So you are familiar, so you are confident, you prefer to see this UI page on your local development side. Mm-hmm. But when you deploy this into the Azure, such as a production environment, and then you might be you might want to remove this UI screen, but keep the document to be rendered for others to use. So how can we do that? So we can do such kind of things. And here we have the bunch of the documents within in our GitHub repository here. So something like in here we get the configuration. We can do such this kind of the what is it the environment variables, then by the granular the controlling your web pages. And even this one, you can put you can add extra security on your UI page and OpenAPI document itself. So let's do. And what I'm going to say now is this one, the Swagger UI visibility. So if I this value is by default. So OpenAPI two underscores hide Swagger UI is basically set false as a default value. But if we set this value as true, then you will be able to see something different. So let's get back to the other functions here. Then go to the configuration. And in here, there are a bunch of the options in here, but we can add new application settings. And here, the OpenAPI hide Swagger UI is true, set to true, and save it. So let's see what's going to be happening. So in here, we can still see the document here. But we can still see the document here. But if we refresh this URL, this page, then what's going to be happening? So it's gone. It says 404 error because we hide it. So this is great for your kind of, if you are concerned about your security-wise, and then you don't want to expose this Swagger UI on your production side, then by setting up this kind this environment variable, and you will be able to hide this Swagger UI. So this this is one thing you can apply for through your environment variables. And another one, if I want to put the additional security for your when you want to render your OpenAPI document, then also you can add this key as well. So as a default, this value is anonymous, which means anyone who knows that the OpenAPI document URL can access to your OpenAPI, but because it's set to anonymous as a default. But if we set this value to function, then save it. So we change the value to from anonymous to function. So you can you can expect what's gonna be happening. So this one. So if I refresh this the endpoint, then so it says 401 error, which is I don't have enough the permission to see it. So in that case, we can get the app keys, API keys here. And we get the API key and go to here as put code. And now you will be able to see your document, OpenAPI document. So this is also a great example to secure your OpenAPI document endpoint the endpoint.
That's good. Okay.
Yeah. So another idea we can I can show you is that okay, let's get back to the Swagger. Let's get back to where is it? Oh.
And all this is we've got docs on all this that are either out or on the way out, right? Already in.
Yep.
One, definitely make sure we put those in the show notes as well. So
yeah. So currently is the documented on our GitHub repository, but at some stage we are the publishing these the advanced the techniques to our the official docs.microsoft.com.
Got it. It's brand new. So
in here now, so I'm going to change this value. Here we go. I'm going to change this value where is it? Oops. To false. So which means I want to see my Swagger, Swagger UI page.
Got it.
So once it is done, then what I want to show you for now is that, and that will throw an error. Okay, because we haven't, where is it? I need to delete this one. So now I delete the accessibility to the OpenAPI documents now. So, so this the Swagger UI will display the all the things what we want. Now, when you see here, there's nothing. So very basic information is rendered here. But I want to change the name of this part, and I want to put some license details or contact details or whatsoever, right? So how can we do that? So in that case, we can put something, we can add additional the additional code bits here. So in here, we can add something plus. So say OpenAPI configuration options. Say,
what are you looking for?
So if I put the OpenAPI configuration options here, then say that I will copy that file into here. Then so you might be wondering what I am doing now. So like this. So I'm going to this part. Here, I put the all the OpenAPI document version and title. I change the title. I change the description. I put the terms and conditions. I put the contact details or something like that. So we didn't have anything in here, but by adding these kind of things, the custom your customized information here, then you will be able to see these things within your application. So let me run this application again on my local machine. So currently we have only this very basic information. But if I add this one, then you will be able to see whole bunch of different the rich the metadata information for your OpenAPI documents. By That's doing cool. so, cool. You will be able to see what this OpenAPI document is for, and if there's something error happens, who I should contact or something like that. So this
That's
is
one. Awesome.
And yeah, another good thing is in here we can change the default behavior of rendering OpenAPI document. So nice. As a default, it's a version 2, which is Swagger, but we can change the value to version 3. So so if I click this Swagger URL, then we can render the OpenAPI version 3 directly.
Sweet. Awesome.
Yeah.
That's good stuff. Here's a question that I didn't think about until right now, and I apologize for asking you a brand new question on the spot. Since I could implement all of that metadata stuff in C#, it's conceivable that I could implement that such that I could interrogate the user's culture and internationalize or globalize the documentation, the Swagger page. Is that is that true? Could I do something like that?
I cannot answer that directly, but that's something the Swagger UI side has got the feature, I think. And I saw a few Swagger, the open Swagger UI document displaying their local languages rather than English. So I think that's something we can do on the Swagger UI side. But that's a really good question. I don't think we have implemented this kind of localization feature within our thing. So that's a good feature. I will please pile up an issue on the GitHub repositories and I will have a look.
Okay, yeah. I'll have to ask Daryl and some other folks if the Swagger UI page supports it. I was more or less thinking about just what's generated on the server side. Like not necessarily the actual Swagger content and like the skin, you know what I mean? But as much as like the content and the docs, you know what I mean? The content about the API, metadata, all that stuff. I bet that'd be kind of not a big deal. Just curious.
Yeah. And also we have another feature. We can actually change some slight customization of your UI. Is that what you are asking? The UI customization? Yeah. So we have the feature. feature as well.
Nice. That's good. That's good.
So in here, there is UI customization. We have documented already.
Right.
So UI documentation. So if you provide the custom JavaScript file and or a custom CSS file and embedded it into your as a functions application project, then you will be able to see some differences.
That's so good.
Hang on. So I have, where is it? I'm gonna add, okay, let's add something in here. I'm gonna add folder. So distribution folder, and I'm going to add new item to CSS file. Oops, there's no CSS. Yep. Is it CSS file? No.
Doesn't look like it.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, I'm just adding it, and I will change it to CSS.
Oh my! Oops. My old eyes. Let's zoom in really big.
Yeah. So my custom CSS. So I add my custom CSS here. Then I will keep it. Just hold a second. What can I do here? I will copy existing one from the sample. So I'm going to copy this one. So I change the UI background color to this color. I don't know what this color is about, but I will change the color. Oops. I will change the color. And also, I'm going to add another file of JavaScript. In here, JavaScript file. Then I will add my custom JavaScript. Then just copy this one. So which means if I refresh the UI page and open the developer mode, and it will display this console log onto the display channel.
That's pretty
display,
cool.
Mode. Yeah.
I dig
that. So once I do that, and then the one thing we need to do is we need to change something in here to embed those values. So what can I do? I'm going to add this value. So this my custom CSS and my custom JavaScript file. So I think it's done. And we are ready to display this one. But one thing we need to have another one to use the OpenAPI custom UI options as well. So I'm going to create another class called the new class. So OpenAPI custom UI options. Then I simply copy the data from the docs in here. And we don't need this part.
This looks so cool.
What we did is just let the custom UI options class with we are going to use this CSS file. We are going to use this custom.js file here. So, I save everything, then launch this application again. So, now it's running. Then let's get back to the screen here. Then see how what's gonna be happening. And here you will see the change here.
That's cool. So
we changed the custom UI.
I gotta try that out.
Then also if we go to in here, then I will clear, then I will refresh it. Then see the custom UI launch space here. So this log comes from the JavaScript file. So basically what you can do here, you as long as you provide your custom custom CSS file and JavaScript file and create the custom options, the class, custom UI options class, then you will be able to handle those UI and some sort of the different behavior for your expectations.
That's pretty cool. So really what you showed is like how to customize the metadata using C#, how the new template and how to bring in OpenAPI on an existing HTTP trigger, which is great. You've gone one step further and showed us how to kind of decorate everything like with my own CSS, to customize the behavior with my own JS. That's pretty cool. That's it's pretty awesome. I don't think I have any other questions for you. It's been really fun to work on this with you. Again, it was cool to work on this. This was something that a lot of different people throughout Microsoft said, well, you know, we need more OpenAPI and functions. And there was a different project that kind of surfaced up some experimental tools that are actually in the VS Code extensions for functions and the extensions for API management around kind of doing the reverse of this, where you actually can generate a functions project in one of the four languages from an OpenAPI specification. So you imagine generating your code from OpenAPI, now you're generating your description from the code you've already got. It's kind of cool. It's good.
Right.
Thanks a lot, Justin. That was cool.
Yeah, that was great. Actually, we have one more question from the audience.
Cool.
Is Sean Pranith, thank you for your question. And I think you alluded to it just a moment ago, Brady, but does OpenAPI only support .NET?
No. No, OpenAPI was originally, I believe that the gentleman that I know who introduced me to it worked in Java and Scala.
Yeah.
So that was the origin for me. I know that whenever I have to go and do things in some of the tools, I have to, you know, get my Java smarts back out, which there's not many of them. It supports a lot of different scripting languages. It supports a lot of different compiled languages. I think Fast API in the Python community, I think it supports it. There's also Express Open API in the Node community for JavaScript, TypeScript. There's a couple different things in the .NET community specific to ASP.NET Core, like NSWAG, Swashbuckle. And now Justin's brought this for .NET and functions. But again, it's, you know, the Open API, you know, the idea behind it is it's open. It's a very, very engaged community. So I'm kind of hoping that some of the engaged community members out there in those other languages want to kind of do the same thing Justin's done in the non-.NET languages for functions. I know that Jeff Holland wants that. So we should figure that out. Be good.
Now you can still consume whatever's generated by the things that Justin showed today using other languages because it's a REST API. So yeah, that's an important point as well. Yeah.
That's exactly right. If you think back to hopefully the same audience member knows about WSDL. If you kind of think back to web services and WSDL, it's kind of the same idea. If you can parse WSDL, you can generate servers, you can generate clients, yada, yada, yada. So.
Web services description language. It's still out there, still interesting, but yeah, a lot of other things that kind of do the same job too.
It's still verbose too.
I wanted to show my screen as well. Brady, you had referenced the .NET 6 preview on App Service. Here's the page that we were referencing earlier. So now App Service, if you want to recap that.
Yeah, sure. During this show, which is convenient because it's a launch space show, I got a ping. This is something that the App Service team has been working on, as well as the .NET team has been working on. We've all been working on together for months. But I got a ping from our good friend Byron. .NET 6 is, you know, currently available on the App Service. .NET 6 Preview 4. We've just released Preview 5. You know, we're going to continue going on forward. But what's nice is once we get one preview on, it's a lot easier for them to get the, you know, subsequent ones on. It also kind of sets a nice cadence up for, you know, us being available on day zero again. So that'll be good.
Sweet. Hey, I also wanted to just show real quick. So we referenced the show page here, which is at aka.ms/the Launch Space Open API. A bit long, but hopefully easy to remember. And it does have the description, but down here, more importantly today, for those of you who are watching this live and anyone later watching the recordings, these are the links we have now. I just literally added a couple of them during the show. There will be more added as things get added to our core documentation as well. So check back at that show page, aka.ms/the Launch Space Open API, for all the links for the show. There is some documentation on Open API that's part of those links. It's not the functionality yet, but it will be. And we also have the Open API specification, and then a link to the .NET preview on App Service too. So I just want to say as well, just a reminder, this is live. We have a few minutes left. If anyone has any more questions, please do jump in over at aka.ms/learnTV. And happy to take your questions. In the meantime, we have had lots of words of encouragement. Thank you, Derek. Thank you, Leonard. Thank you, Hiram. And Ishan as well. They're all giving us some kudos over there on some of the work that's been done. So it's popular, and it's like good. It's getting feedback already.
It's good. That's good.
Wow, that's good.
It's good.
Cool. So anything else to add? We have about a minute left.
I think we have shown the bunch of the advanced technique plus initially, we showed the basic techniques, and then we showed the advanced technique. But there's a lot more to come. So watch this our GitHub repository, and you will. And if you have any ideas, put the pile of the issues on there. Then we will follow up to add the feature.
Well, great. Well, thank you, Brady Gaster. Thank you, Justin. I'm coming to you from Los Angeles. Justin is coming to you from Korea today, and Brady's in Redmond. This is a great international show here. Thanks for everybody for the
very global
cooperation there. Yes. So thanks again.